Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is, y'all gonna get me lying, I'm gonna say round B, the 19th?
Yes.
Oh,
very
shit.
Good.
I nailed it.
It's basically Christmas.
Yeah.
No, it is Christmas. It's Christmas. Not basically Christmas. It is Christmas. It's criminal.
Christmas.
It's criminal. It's criminal. Y'all do your criminal shopping yet?
I just started yesterday.
I did.
I'll let you go first, bro.
Yeah. No, me and Mona don't really do big Christmas gifts like that. I don't have that pressure of what I gotta get my wife.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? But the kids, I got their stuff. I got my niece,
and
nephew stuff. But niggas be on my neck all year, man.
So you be like,
motherfucker.
Y'all welcome for everything else.
Yeah, remember back in August?
When
rent was short?
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
I had to order, like, this is a short Christmas for everybody because it's my entrepreneurial Christmas year.
Niggas know.
Santa show. But
make some niggas some cookies or something.
Right, some fucking banana bread. I'ma bring you a pan of macaroni and cheese. Merry Christmas, bitch.
A popping, first of all, a popping pan of mac is like $40, nigga.
That's a real gift.
I got six cheeses in here.
I literally do. But I had to order Greg's gift a little early, but everybody else is kind of like, first of all, I don't have that many people I have to buy for it because I don't have nieces and nephews and all of that. So that part makes it easy. What I do need to do that I haven't done in a really long time is sit down and do like holiday cards. I haven't done those in years.
People still do that?
But even when you get a physical one in the mail, it's a really good feeling. But the thing is, like, what do you do with them after the
I gotta be honest. So I thought about that, right? So every year, right after Halloween, I'm like, we're gonna do a Christmas card this year.
You gonna take the pictures and all that?
We're gonna do the picture,
the
light, right? We're gonna do the cheesy family shit, like in front of the fireplace.
Color coordinated.
All that shit.
Y'all be in the same shit.
Every year I say that shit. And every year it's like the 22nd. And I'm like, damn, I still ain't get this motherfucker. But I do get the cards. But let me tell you, I'm not as moved. And here's why. They're usually generic.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at that. I appreciate you
thinking of me.
You
being on a list.
Right? Yeah. But I'm on your client list, right?
Yeah,
right.
Sure it is.
You know, hey, Mr. Electrician Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, you know, Sal.
And then I'll get, I usually take care of my folks that come by all year.
Right.
So, there's one particular UPS dude. Okay. I hit him off. Not every one of them. They don't be the same guy.
Right.
I take care of my water guy.
Okay.
My Poland Spring guy.
No. What you give him?
Well, the water
pump.
Hold on, killer.
Nigga, try 40.
Yeah. So I get more for the UPS dude, I'll hit him for 40.
Okay.
And the water dude, it'll be like 25.
Okay.
Right.
You know? A little something.
Yeah, and then I always take care of the garbage guys.
Well, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, That's the difference between getting your can tossed around in the street.
Yeah.
Or you can't put it on the driveway proper. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because Peace to My Supers, who started in like late October or November, like sniffing around for Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. I ain't hit them last year because I ain't think about it, honestly.
Ask a lot of my super, so I forget to tip him sometimes, but I need to.
That's why I ask you how much, because I'm just like his niggas.
Me and Angel.
Yeah, $30 is fine.
We have a little.
You Angel.
His name is Angel. Me and Angel be having a little situation.
You Dominican?
Yeah, because part of the problem is, his name is Angel Polanco. Part of the problem is that somebody in my building targets me for mail theft. Me specifically. There can be boxes downstairs.
And your shit be gone.
And my shit be gone. And he and I have talked about this, and he acts like I'm making it up. Mm. So, like, then there was one time where a package was left at my door. It was, like, when I was getting one of those little monthly, you know, those monthly subscription boxes. Mm. And literally, I left my house at 5. The shit was delivered at, like, 5:30. My neighbor came in at, like, 6:30 and sent me a picture of somebody had opened it on the stairways. Like, the shit was all strewn.
Damn!
And
stuff.
So, I had them replace it, and the replacement was stolen.
Damn.
So, I was like, people are fucking with me. And I don't know if it's, like, there's kids who live upstairs from me. I don't know if it's kids being nosy. I don't know if it's somebody who's like, yo, she gets fly shit. Let me get at her. Mm.
That's 100%
right.
of what is happening.
So at one point, we have cameras downstairs. There's like cameras on every floor. Mm. So sometimes the UPS people are lazy. They won't bring it to the door. They'll leave it downstairs at the mailbox, which I was fine with because I'm like, at least the cameras are down
okay.
there. So there was one day I literally came inside. I saw that there was a package for me and I was like, I had my hands full. I was like, I'll come back down and get it. Like 3 hours later, that bitch was gone. But everybody else's shit was still there. So I'm talking to Polanco. He's like, no, no, it's at your door. I'm like, no, nigga, what the fuck is me? But, you know, there's a language barrier. He doesn't really speak.
Did you look at the footage?
I asked him to pull the footage, and he wouldn't pull the footage. So I say all that to say.
Polanco might be taking your shit on
Angel
your
might not get to. Well, listen. I had something FedEx to me. I left a jacket in a hotel room once when I went on a tour stop for John. And I was late for my flight. I left my jacket in a hotel room. They FedExed it to me. They said he, like, the signature for it was his signature.
And
his
wife he said, got your jacket.
And he said it never came.
His wife got your jacket.
Right.
Or
he was,
his little...
Or his daughter or something. He was like, FedEx didn't come that day.
Nah. Somebody got your jacket.
Yeah.
So quick question. Mm-hmm. Have you tipped him in the past?
Yes. But it's inconsistent.
Okay. Nah, he fuck him.
Yeah, it's inconsistent. Like, I tipped him 1 year... Because there's been times when he held packages for me, he actually gave it back to me.
Mm.
And then there was one time where I was on my way out of town, and I checked my mail on my way out of town and dropped my keys on the ground. And I did not realize until I came back. I had been gone for like 10 days. I didn't realize until I came back. I thought I had lost my keys like in a Sprinter van in a hotel. Mm-hmm. I thought my keys were in Canada somewhere, right? Or on a plane. You know, you dig around in your bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he hit me, when I came home, there was a note on my door that said, I have your keys. So I was like, all right. So for that year, he got a tip.
Yeah, because he looked out.
Right. But it's like, it's inconsistent. Like, this year, I feel like I want to
tip. Do you have a storage unit anywhere?
You mean a mailbox? Or like
a storage unit.
No, I have a storage unit.
You should send your packages there.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My joint is up there. You actually
do. Yeah.
You can send your packages to the storage unit. It's a little headache because you got to go.
Because you got
to
go get it. That's why I don't have a mailbox. Yeah, that's why my side.
In the buildings, when you know you just leave it out,
you never know.
You never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and for a long time it wasn't a problem, and then all of a sudden it was.
Yeah,
as a former FedEx guy, that does make a difference too.
What?
When you get a little envelope.
Okay.
Okay.
You get a little thank you.
A little look out.
Little thank you. You know, I'm going to make sure your shit. Yeah, yeah. I make sure your shit is in the corner somewhere where they can't really see it.
Right.
Or I might, you know, give me a number. I'll hit you. I just dropped your joint off.
Right.
On the way. Okay.
Right.
All right. Shout outs?
I got a shout out to the Marriott Marquis. That's around the corner from where we tape. I was in there working before I came over here.
Uh-huh.
And they had Sirius's Soul Holiday Channel on.
Okay.
So they in there jamming.
All right.
I was telling Sean there was a Teddy Pendergrass Christmas song I had never heard before.
Yeah, I know.
That was basically kind of like a turn out the lights for Christmas. Let's get the Christmas party going. That's what Teddy do what he do. So yeah, just shout out to them because they was jamming. And shout out to, have you gone to see Spider-Man, the Spider-Man joint?
I saw it last night.
Are you about to review it? I need to go see it. Okay. Yeah, just shout out to that because I haven't heard, I've just heard super, phenomenal.
Super dope.
Thanks.
You got any shouts, bro?
Nah, I don't.
All right. Yeah. Real quick, I mean, I think we mentioned it before, but I think the season is over, about to be over. Just want to say shout out to Tales from the Tour Bus.
Yes, excellent.
Is the season over?
There's one more this Friday is, what's her name? Betty Davis.
Oh, I'm with that.
Yeah, which like...
The clean-up woman?
Yeah, I don't know nearly enough about her, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about her either. I also know the clean-up woman. I know she's been a vocal coach for a lot of people.
Well, also, she just
the recluse.
Put a lot of people on.
Yeah, a lot of people came through her path, but all right.
So I'm excited about that. Now, I went back because it's such great storytelling. Like, and the Morris episode has been my favorite.
The Morris of the time. I watched it twice. Awesome.
It was so good. So, but people were telling me, like, yo, you should really go back and watch season one. It's country music.
Oh, I was watching.
Yeah, season one.
I saw a little bit of Johnny Paycheck.
Yeah, Johnny Paycheck is
that
the first
was
one.
Bananas.
It's bananas. But they all are because country niggas is crazy.
Crazy.
Every single episode, somebody shoots somebody. Every single episode.
There's guns involved.
There's guns everywhere. Every there's drugs in every fucking episode. Yeah. They was pill popping. They was doing coke. It's like rap. It really is. It is like rap. And so I went back and watched the first episode. And Johnny Paycheck is I knew the song Take This Job and Shove It because it used to be on like the Time Life
compilation commercials.
Mm-hmm. I just never knew who he was. But I laughed out loud like 4 times in that episode because it was so wild.
Yeah, he's buck wild.
And then they did Jerry Lee Lewis.
I didn't see that one.
And like, it was shit like Jerry Lee Lewis shot his bass player and then fired his bass player because his bass player wasn't tour ready because his bass player was recovering from getting shot by Jerry Lee Lewis. You know what I'm saying? So it's so just shout out to the show in general.
Mike Judge.
I mean, just really, really great storytelling, and because it's firsthand, and
because it's animated, it's kind of cool because they can obviously animate the reenactments, as opposed to them just being stories or still pictures like on Unsung, and that's no slight to Unsung. I enjoy that too,
but the entertainment factor is
it goes
like
up
100,
because you're seeing like the most of the time, you're seeing
Morris and Prince almost fight, exactly, was like the funniest shit. Yeah,
and how they came with the mirror for Jerome and all that. Like,
it's great.
You know what I'm saying?
And shout out to Levi. What's Levi's last name from Stone City?
Who cursed every other word.
Yo, he's in like every episode. He was part of Rick James's band, but he's in like every episode. But when he talks about Prince and Morris,
oh my God.
Like, he's really the star of the season.
He's on the low. He's ghetto as hell. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Shout out to that. And then, like you said, I went to see Spider-Man last night, and definitely shout out to that. That movie is dope.
Justin loved it.
It's awesome. Like, you should see it, bro. Like, in the theater.
You sound like...
Yeah. I plan to go see it.
It's dope. It's like... I don't give away spoilers or whatever, but the lead is Miles Morales, who's black and Latin. His dad is black. His mom is Latin. His mom's voice is Lauren Velez from New York Undercover.
Yep.
And his dad's voice is Brian Tyree, was from Atlanta.
Paperboy.
Yeah.
Who's like everywhere right now?
Yeah, he's popping. He's popping. Other voices in it are Mahershala. I forgot his
name. Mahershala Ali.
Jake Johnson. The kid Shamik. What's his last name? The kid that was in The Get Down, played the DJ and stuff.
Okay.
He's Miles.
Okay.
Haley Seinfeld is Gwen Stacy. John Mulaney is like Peter Porker, because it's like these different Spider-Man
from the different
Nick
universes.
Cage
is
in it, so like there's all these different from different universes and stuff. So it's like it's not the actual Marvel universe; it's an alternate universe.
Yeah.
But there's they make alludes to the actual one, and there's a lot going on. Chris Pine, it's just a great movie. Like, and the music is crazy.
Right,
and they play like Hypnotize. Like, the music is crazy. Like, they got a Sway Lee record in there.
That's hilarious.
Like, it's crazy. I was like, yo, this is, like, you bag it. Yo, the movie is super dope. The storyline is dope. It's just great. It's just great. And he's like the way the animation is fly. And he's like, he wears Jordans. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he's like a 16-year-old kid from Queens. Like, he's literally that. Like, it's exactly what a 16-year-old black kid from Queens who's kind of smart would be. Like, that's him. But I could see it again. Like, it was a great movie, so I highly, highly recommend that. Let's jump into, y'all niggas, you ain't watching Ready to Love. You ain't see it this week either.
I keep trying with Ready to Love. I can't.
This week is the last episode.
There's a reunion,
which looks like it's gonna be great.
Okay.
Yeah, so please.
Have either of y'all watched any more Chad and Michelle?
I didn't watch this week's, which I wanted to see because I think this week was pretty intense.
But you've been watching?
But I've been staying on it. Bro, checked out. But I've been staying on it. And it was definitely kind of interesting to watch it, as of last week with the perspective of them
having
breaking up
again.
Because you can see, you can kind of see, it's very subtle. They're not like beefing and arguing on the show, but you can see things that probably led to that.
Right.
But, you know, I was going to say I've enjoyed, I haven't really enjoyed, I mean, I don't enjoy is the right term, but it's been a very interesting, to me, it's a very interesting reality show. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know. I doubt, obviously, it won't do another one, but.
Yeah, clearly.
But I, it's been very interesting to me. So, I mean, I guess peace to them, I guess. Have y'all, oh, bro, you want to mention that, Brown and Core album.
Oh yeah,
album.
The no. album.
So David and Tamela Mann have released a.
Come on, bro.
A R&B album specifically designed for Christians in the bedroom.
Yeah.
That is the tagline.
Yeah, for the marital bed.
For the marital bed.
What does that mean?
It means no heathens. It means no heathen. No fornicating.
You can't get heathen with your wife?
No.
If it's your wife, you're not a heathen. That's the point.
That's the point. The point
what
is...
What are you saying in the
no,
song?
What they know, what's but here's the reason. No, wait, Jeffy. No, but let's back up. What they're trying to do... I get what they're trying to do. I actually applaud what they're trying to do because there is a hang-up about sexuality with
in
Christians.
The
right. And, I mean, if any of y'all have ever read Song of Solomon, that shit is damn near pornographic. Like, they talking about breastuses and pussy, but I mean, not in those words, but if you can read between the lines, like,
saying.
Absolutely, right? So, it's like, we have made some Christians have made such a big deal out of fornication and sex and everything, that even within the confines of marriage, it stunts people's affection and sexuality. And I think, you know, there's a lot of love music about steamy, like maybe like illicit sex or maybe like forbidden sex, maybe like, you know,
as we lay
like there is adultery. R&B is a real thing, and they're trying to create something that you can listen to with your loved one in the Lord without worrying that it's gonna say some shit like slide your panties to the side.
And here's the thing. I listen to the record. I listen to about, it's 10 songs.
You listen to like
it's only like 40 songs. Minutes,
Yes, yeah, 37 minutes. It's a
with
short
that
album.
In and of itself.
It's a short album. 37 minutes is perfect time.
Get in and get
perfect
out.
Perfect time. Press play. Do what you gotta do.
Go get some dinner.
Cora, bring my washcloth for you to come back for the
fest. That's water.
And a glass of water. And a sandwich.
Yeah. So.
Bring my juice back for
the future.
I get what they're doing. Yes. I applaud what they're doing. I think that two reasons is great. One, it appears to be on their label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their, yeah,
you know,
I can
right?
definitely see that.
They have a following.
No, they definitely do.
So, you know what I'm saying? It makes sense. You know, David can sing.
Yeah.
You know, he's not blowing anyone down.
Tamela can sing,
yeah. But David is no chump, she's not carrying him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's a really
what's the songs about? What they saying in the
they're
record?
Talking about love. He got a I fucked up record.
Really?
So she definitely made him do a I fucked up record.
Yeah, because he had the mouth side
babies. The mouth side babies. Yes, she definitely had to make a I had some break babies and I'm sorry record. There's a lot of, you know, want to spend time with you. I'm yearning for you, but in a very, and I hate the word appropriate here, but in a very appropriate way.
Right.
This is something that if you have a 10-year-old in the car, you are not freaking
not
out
tripping.
About
right.
it
yeah.
at all. And some of this stuff could absolutely and should absolutely
on
be on radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should absolutely. They got a couple little bops,
okay.
a couple
basically
little joints.
They sound like old school R&B.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
It sounds like adult. It's funny because we just had this conversation last week about people that don't make R&B music.
Yeah.
And this is an R&B album.
Okay.
In the very essence of it, if you listen to this, it's a little, I wouldn't say you know, in the vein of sort of that Hush Entertainment era, which was the Freddie Melba, Anita Baker, that whole era.
That kind of zone?
It's that kind of zone, but a little bit updated. Okay. So the songs are well made.
Okay.
It's not like it's shitty production. If you can play it, you're probably never going to listen to it
but
again.
But it ain't bad.
You ain't turning it off.
It ain't like,
oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
Now there's like one song where it was like, I was like 40 seconds in. I was like, nigga, what was y'all? This one definitely didn't have to make the cut.
This is a throwaway.
So, but I get it.
Might have some Quiet Storm play.
Yo, it's a couple of joints in there where I was like, yo, I may not necessarily put this in my top rated.
Yeah, but right. I would put this on a playlist. If it came on, you would.
I'm not skip. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
What they need to do, like I said, offline is just they need to go old school, buy a bunch of commercials on TV One.
I mean, that costs a lot of money, but.
I always make the commercials almost like the old ones, like with the album and them singing and the titles going up. Just do that.
They probably have, but also like.
And they're, like I said, they're a member of Jake's church.
Yeah, but like gospel radio is probably still, maybe not gospel radio, but like that crossover audience that also listens to like Tom Joyner and all of them.
Yeah, Urban AC.
Yeah, they're definitely going to go
they're
for
probably
that.
But I mean, those syndicated shows, all those guys. They'll probably tour.
I mean, specifically like the syndicated shows. They may tour.
They're going to get on
they're
all
probably,
those.
If they're smart, there's probably some kind of companion guide they've done about like healthy sex and marriage that they're sending out to everybody's marriage ministries at all these mega churches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're definitely
like,
about
like,
to get.
Like church marketing. Is it? Well, you should know.
Yeah,
church
it's own separate
church
thing.
Marketing is its own thing.
They about to get all that. They about to get all that theater money.
All that
$1,500.
What they'll probably do is if they're smart and they are, what they'll probably do is probably almost do it in play form.
Yeah, David Mann throw some comedy in there.
Throw a little bit of comedy in there. Have one of the kids. Have one of the kids in the back selling books and DVDs.
The book signs out.
Yeah, they
so
be
it's,
all right.
It's a night out, so it's good.
And pay them bills.
No, peace to them, man. Peace to them. Oh, by the way, peace to Anita Baker. She coming Valentine's Day.
She is?
Where? Radio City.
I bet it's sold out.
Tickets went on sale today.
I bet they sold out already. Fuck.
All right, dude. She might have another show.
I got to check.
I
got
to catch her.
Because I
was already debating on trying to go down the fucking... National Harbor to catch her.
Oh, in America.
Anita
is kind of us though, so I don't really know because you know we get real funny with them tickets come the holiday time.
Yeah,
them tickets.
I ain't got Anita.
Now the second week in January. That first pay period.
Put up this credit card.
I got to put some down.
Put some down on these layaways, and I'll get back to you now. Yes, sir. We might mess around and catch some good seats if you go in there today. But that's when he goes, R.I.P. to Penny Marshall.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bronx's own, passed away at age of 75.
Yeah.
Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Same morning. What was her complication?
Something with diabetes. Okay. She apparently been ill for a very long time.
For a minute, yeah. And, you know, obviously a lot of, great, you know, kind of like salutations and stuff like that online and, it's funny because I saw Andre Harrell and O'Neal and Crazy Legs from the Rocksteady Crew. Mm-hmm. Like they was like, "Yo, she was like Bronx to the death." Like,
yeah, and apparently, she was real Bronx.
Like, if you walked to the up in the Bronx, like you was good.
Yeah,
like, where you from? Oh, you good? Come with me. Like, so Andre said that every time he saw her. It was like Bronx.
She always talked, and Crazy Legs too.
He's like, every time I saw her, it was like Bronx talk.
She always had that feel to her.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw her at the coffee shop and you start to, like, she's probably still had her accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she definitely
all
had
of that.
Both
you know what I'm saying?
Her brother both kept
yeah, I totally, I totally.
Yeah. She
know.
Wore, she used to
Did Gary die already?
Yeah, Gary's passed already, yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He used to wear a little Yankees hat. And then when she lived in New York, she would always go to the Knick games. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, she was a great, you know, she was an actress on Laverne and Shirley Isabel and became a great director.
Yep. She directed Big.
Yeah.
She directed A League of Her Own.
Yeah. So
she directed Awakening and Preacher's Wife.
I read that she was the first female director with $100 million
movie. Box office with Big.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you just want to say peace to her because
I had forgotten she did Preacher's Wife too, actually.
Yeah. I like that. I like Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Schmeasel,
Incorporated. We're gonna show. She was a ride or die bestie.
Huh?
She was a ride or die bestie.
She was a ride or die bestie for sure.
Yeah.
Did y'all watch Love and Hip Hop?
Yep.
You got to sit down. So, yeah. Love and Hip Hop, it's been a great season.
Listen, I'm still locked in. Some of these niggas on my nerves, but I'm still locked in. Four.
Okay, we're 4D. This episode kind of really centered on, what's his name? Jaquez.
And Jonathan and their drama.
No. Jonathan and Yandy and them.
Yeah, but also Jaquez with and, Safari.
Safari. Yeah. And old girl, the rough girl.
But what's her name? I don't know her name.
Kia.
I can't keep up with these secondary characters. I don't
Kiani, know not Kiani. Kamari or something like that.
Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, she's cute, but she's rough.
That's Rich's. So isn't she one of Rich's girls? No.
Yes? No, I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
I was about to say that's.
She's Rich's. Just so leaving them. She's just so like. Oh, she's so rough, girl. Like, like chilling, just like just walking up, like yo, what's up, dog?
Right.
It was a great episode of Jonathan and Yandy. Well, not really. Yandy wasn't too much this way. Jonathan, Juju, and a bit of. I guess it was really most Jonathan and Juju
and Anais. Anais, yeah. So Jonathan and Anais, great on me. And Jonathan Anais' energy is a large part of why I stopped watching last season.
I gotta say this. I don't know. He guess he just remembers me. But whenever I see Jonathan, he's always really nice to me. He's like, what's up, man? And speaks and like, give me a hug.
He seems like he's a nice guy.
I guess he's mostly from being at events. Yeah. You know, with Sean Amon,
he seems like he's a nice guy, but his energy on the
but
show.
But the views are mine. And I'm not trying to say some foul shit.
Gay and gay messiness.
Yes, it's that gay, you know, city gay energy that sometimes comes out from certain cats who like end up being very messy and
it's very mixy. Very catty. It's very mixy. It's very catty. Yeah.
I don't mean no disrespect.
And then on the flip side, the Anais girl is like psychotic.
You see, I don't know her backstory, so I don't know.
She's crazy. I mean, I don't really know her backstory either, except that she's married to an old ass man, but like her energy is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
And she looks like a druggie. And like, I don't really know her deal. Like, I feel like she's on pills. Like, there's something with her that's just really.
What I have to say, I did. Look, Jonathan is, but I didn't get why.
He snapped on Juju?
No, why Juju snapped so hard on him. He was just trying to talk and like.
Did you see last week's episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. And I know they had the whole blowout with Kimbella and all them at his party. I understand that, but he brought her there to be like, yo, like I'm just telling you that I'm hurt by what you did. But he didn't. I don't think he didn't seem to come there for a fight.
He didn't.
But seemed to come there kind of for a fight.
But I felt like he was talking, but he was doing kind of what. Because Juju's whole thing in the first place was, you had a problem with me and you told everybody but me.
That's wrong.
And he was circling around that and being like, Capella did this, Sin did that, Anais did that, the other person did that, and this is why I was mad at you. But he's doing everything but addressing what Juju actually said to him was like, yeah, I came to celebrate my friend, but then I had to find out in the streets that you had a problem with me. Like, that's what that was all about. The week prior.
Yeah, but remember, he didn't invite her to the party, so he was looking at her. That's why he was looking at her like, why would you think I would set you up? I didn't even know you were coming.
But see, that's the thing. I didn't take it as a... That was the thing. He escalated when she said, I felt like I got ambushed. And he was like, okay, so you felt like I had a conversation with Anais prior saying, when you see her do this, and Juju said yes. Now, I didn't feel like she was necessarily saying... She felt like she was set up for that event right there, but more like there had been conversations about her, right?
Okay.
And then all of a sudden he was like, for you to say I set you up, for you to say you felt ambushed, for you to say you going around and saying da da da, like then he went left. And that's when she was like, all right, I'm out.
He did, but then I felt him in that. He kind of pulled back and he was like, and I'm sure this goes deeper than this conversation, probably goes throughout his life. He was like, I'm not going to sit here and let my feelings be invalidated. Like, and I think at that point, Juju was very upset, but at that point, I was hoping Juju would kind of just catch herself.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, this is deeper than just that. It's,
you're right.
What you did triggered
something.
Shit from his,
and that's fair. And you're right. But at again, some point, Juju should have said, I hear you.
From the outside
yeah,
in, so
at some point, Juju could have said, I hear you. Because Juju and Yandy kind of had the same thing going on, which is like,
what are you talking
you want to call other people out on their shit. You did this to me, you did that to me. But then when it's their own shit, they'd be like, well, I didn't take it this way, but they're both good for that.
Yeah.
But
they definitely hit, they both hit you with the like, I'm sorry you feel hurt.
Yeah, that's it, right? And you're, but you're right. Juju definitely could have been like, all right, I hear you. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that that's how it came off to you.
Mm-hmm.
But Juju was waiting for him to take acknowledgement of like, because this is also what he does. Cause even when he had like the postmortem from his birthday brunch, he firing off shots at everybody else. Like, and then you did this, Sin, and then you did this, Kimbella, and then you did this, yeah. And everybody's like, fuck, what? You know what I mean? Or I'm not Sin, but then you did this, Anais.
He did get at Anais, though.
Yeah, he did get at Anais.
He did. He was like, nah, because I don't know if you saw, they do this online, because I watch online.
I don't watch the online thing.
So online, they do a thing at the end of the show, which is Peace to Money Entertainment, because it's kind of cool, where they'll take a couple of scenes.
And let people react?
Yes, and Sin and... Yandy and Jonathan, of course, but Sin and Yandy are watching that scene,
right?
With Jonathan and Juju, and they are both saying, "Nah, he did stick up for you. Like he did. Like they're kind of they were on his side, kind of
right.
Juju. Like you kind of tripping, like,
yeah.
Like you know, like he really loves you. Like let's figure this out, kind of thing. Peace to Juju, by the way. She's fucking gorgeous. Wow. Like
yeah,
really, Cam. I know he gets his. I got it. No, but like, wow, what do you think about the whole thing with Mano and his girl?
So, something with the storyline is irking me, and I can't figure out what it is. And first, I was like, am I not comfortable with it because I feel like Mano's pushing his girl too hard? Then I was like, am I not comfortable with it? Because I feel like it's being overplayed. And I was like, no, I can't about to the point of John. I can't invalidate her feelings like you were up at Urban Plaza, which is mad.
And got shot.
Yeah. And that was a crazy night. And somebody died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it has a, yeah. Yeah. So like, I get that. There's something about the storyline that I'm not comfortable with. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I have a problem with it. Something I'm not comfortable with and I can't figure it out. But like, I know Mano a little bit. Mano's like a real dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a real street dude, but he's a real dude. So I like what I'm seeing of their relationship.
Yeah.
Although it seems like some of this is like they were early in the game when she got shot, so there is some like overcompensation happening in terms of
because he feels guilty.
Yeah.
He's like, I bought her here and this is what happened.
So like the fact that like they live together and her brother lives with them and like all this other stuff, like it's a lie.
But it seems like he has a great relationship with the brother.
Yeah, but it seems like he has a good relationship with the brother.
Like
it's
like a real family thing.
He does well by her, but again, like Mano is a street dude, so like would I necessarily. Like I'm curious about the fact that nowhere in all the stuff they're doing are they talking about therapy for her.
Maybe we'll get to that.
Yeah, like
this is kind of like the first episode where she was
true
focused.
But Mano's like, let me take you back to the place. Let me do this. Let me do this
version of therapy.
Right, but it's like at some point there maybe needs to be a professional.
Not to make jokes, but Mano did what like Ayanna would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Then my beloved.
He was like, you gotta face the ghost. Only way out of it is to go through it.
Ayanna would have been like rubbing her back and all that.
Telling her to breathe.
Get to breathe.
Ayanna would have swaddled her in the blanket.
Exactly. We're gonna make you sleep in the green room and all that shit. You know what I mean? But, I've only actually met Mano one time, at a cookout, but like, I really liked him.
I like Mano.
We had a great conversation. Like, we talked for a long time. He was like a really good dude. I was like, I really like this nigga. Like, I didn't know him, but I kind of liked him more than I expected to. I was like, oh, I really like this nigga. Like, if I see him again, I'm like, hey, what's up, nigga? You remember me?
Hey, what's up, nigga?
You remember me? From the cookout? But overall, episode 4, great episode. One more. Safari and old boy and old girl and...
I mean...
And what's her name? Nia Lee and...
Whatever, whoever all these people are. With Safari and old boy...
You said whatever all these people are.
So
misnamed. A lot of the names...
That gal.
The chillins.
All these people. They are all interchangeable to me. But the Jacquez dude and his ex, I 100% believe her.
200%.
Yeah.
I 200% believe
absolutely
that.
Believe
girls that. Like that, like kind of hood girls like that, they don't really lie like that.
There's
like,
no reason.
There's no reason for her just to lie. You know what I'm saying?
So I absolutely believe her. And I also absolutely believe that Safari doesn't make the best decision in who he keeps around him.
Yeah.
Like, we've all seen that, yeah, right? Yeah. And I think Safari's good. Like, I said before on the show that Safari is, like, the one character aside from Cardi where the show changed my mind about them. Because when Safari first got on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, I was like, this nigga is a clown cake.
Yeah.
Supreme, right? And now I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he actually is a good dude. And sometimes he actually seems a little, like, wide-eyed out here. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Like
kind of like, what? Like, what? You know, yeah.
What's the problem?
Like he caught mad unawares, like the Dykeman basketball shit. Like, you know what I mean? Just, like, when he's got jumped. Like, all of that. Sometimes it just seems like he's just out here exposing himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want him to have good people around him. But and that Jacquez dude, I don't even know who he is, but he seems to really be feeling
himself.
I don't
either. He keeps telling
like he's a, how he like a writer like extraordinaire, but like, what?
I'm like, I don't know you, bro. Like, maybe you do. I'm not saying you don't,
but I don't know
anything about it. So good luck with all that. I wanted to mention Colin Crowell, who's the co-founder and CEO of this gaming app called HQ Trivia.
Yeah.
And the founder of Vine. Was found dead a couple of days ago. He's only 34.
Crazy.
And they're saying that they found some white substance in an envelope next to him.
Oh, I didn't read that part.
Yeah, so they think it might be a suicide, but I don't know, man. This is
you think it's a murder?
I just feel like I'm talking shit because I don't know anything, but I just feel like these young guys are playing at a high level with a lot of fucking money. And you know, I'm not saying he wasn't maybe, you know, using coke and all that, but like, I just think there's a lot of shit that goes on in that kind of tech, high-end tech world that hasn't really been exposed yet. And I think it's a lot of it is vicious because, like I said, it's a lot of fucking
money. It's possible, but I also think that they think they're invincible.
Yeah, because 34 is young and you're walking around with
gobs and have had it for like a good 4 years.
Yeah,
now?
For a minute.
Yeah. So you're like,
because Twitter bought Vine.
Yeah, so you think you're invincible and you do dumb shit.
Yeah.
So I can see it going both ways.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I guess peace to him and his family. Oh, and then locally, you've got to mention peace to La Marina.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
So La Marina is been shut down for now. Looks like they're going to possibly permit. Well, for those who don't know, La Marina is this very popular. It's not a club. It's a very popular.
It's kind of a beach club-esque restaurant.
Beach club, yeah. Up in Upper Manhattan. It has an actual beach.
Yeah.
Man-made, but it's an actual beach. It has places where you can literally drive your jet ski or your boat up and get out and go eat and stuff like
that. Which anybody driving a jet ski on the Hudson is still disgusting to me. But
you know, there's in Dominican, them dudes, because it's more generations, because when I was living on Riverside, it was a squad of Dominicans that used to be out there every summer riding up and down around the GW. And they, I don't know if it's them or some younger guys, they still be out there.
Right.
If you go out go down that area in the summertime, you will see dudes on jet skis. So they getting busy. But anyway, yeah, it's still nasty water, but they just immune to it, I guess. They closed down. It's almost like there's like, what's the name of the Truth? Club Truth, like in power.
Yeah.
Dudes in there selling cocaine. There was wage theft. There was sexual harassment for the girls working there. Wow.
It was everything you would think of the worst part of working in a nightclub.
Yes.
Like everything you could imagine. If this was a movie, everything that happens in that movie that's in the night, that's exactly what this was.
Yes. It says here, they got docked 74 points from the Department of Health, underage drinking, and noise complaints throughout NYPD, and 64 liquor law violations.
Lord Jesus!
Well, let me just say, let me
why
just,
you have 64 liquor violations? Well,
because what's happening is that you are watching the changing demographics of your neighborhood.
That's true.
And so we keep hearing.
La Marina came just as it was starting to
like
gentrify.
Right at that turn.
Yeah.
And in the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I'm sure that shift has been a little more dramatic
to
other folks that are not particular about
all that
noise.
Yeah.
And they are not welcomed.
Yeah, it's not for them.
Because the other thing is about La Marina that y'all have to understand is that La Marina is at the end of an avenue that's just
it's Dyckman
popping.
Yeah, it's Dyckman.
Like the whole
from one end to the other
for the whole thing. It's like restaurants and hookah and all that shit. And like they threw a Starbucks on there and everything, and they tried, but like on the weekends. That whole strip is live.
It's crazy. All the way down to 10th Avenue.
Yeah, all the way down.
So I mean, I went there once, and I was good. Like, it wasn't my bag. Right. Now,
I think I went up there with women together.
I think we might have been together. Yes, and for me, it was
I was taping up there that night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and I went up another night.
Oh, you mean to La Marina?
Yes.
Yeah. I've only actually been there a couple of times. It wasn't really.
The food was
also mid.
I would imagine that's what the tunnel was like in 95. It was just a lot of people.
A lot of people.
It was a lot going on. There was a lot of, like, you trying to sort of get your bearings. Like, where am I? Who the fuck is that over there? Right. Who are these dudes?
I never went for a party. I went for dinner. Mm-hmm. I went for brunch. I purposely never went for a party, to your point. Because it was just...
It was chaos. So, I don't want to talk about Fernando. I even know it's public knowledge. I don't want to talk about Fernando.
Yeah, nah. Yeah,
just peace to Fernando.
Gotta sit this one out, bro.
I'm sitting this one out. So, but anyway, we'll see. I mean, but my prediction is, and I said this on the Twitters, my prediction is I think they're going to fuck around and build some condos up there.
No, I think it's going to stay because it's a parks
department. Yeah, that's a whole park.
Yeah, it's a parks department land area.
It is.
What I will say is that I think it's going to be prime for the redistribution of wealth.
Okay.
And so
it's going to be a different type of restaurant.
It's going to be a different kind of restaurant. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to be up there.
Yeah, but it ain't going to be like it was.
It ain't going to be all, all this.
Yeah, right.
No. But
Fat Joe and Fab
none of that. Like Ezra is about to open up
his beer garden.
Yeah. Okay, there's going to be Small Business Saturdays.
Yeah.
You can get your fresh honey from some lady that makes shit up in Mount Barnes. All of that's going to happen.
It's a beautiful area.
And
what was it before? I still can't remember what it was before.
I don't even think it was just docks.
I don't even think anything was over there.
The whole I used to work on Pier 40, which is way downtown.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme, it's not that far, but it's way downtown in terms of the island. They have revived and rejuvenated
the entire coast on the west side.
So that was just a matter of time. They were working their way up.
Yeah.
But I lived a couple of blocks above Dyckman for a little while.
You would never go into that part of it?
No, I used to because I used to, this was when I was running really heavy. So I used to go, and cut over
to
get on the highway. And La Marina came, I think, the year after I moved away or 2 years. And I literally can't remember what was there.
Because that means there was nothing before.
There was nothing there. Yeah.
They've done all those docks all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Even down where the boys used to be. Down in the village where all the gay kids used to be. That's
Christopher Street. That whole thing is completely redone.
I was actually down there. I went, they had a Peace to Combat Jack, who at his first anniversary of his passing, they had a little thing, a little Combat Jack radio podcast tribute the other night, so I stopped by there. But my point was, I hadn't been down lower Manhattan at nighttime in ages, because, you know, years ago,
That's where you had to go.
Go to Century 21, and then it's over. It was nothing down there. It was literally nothing. There was a few apartment buildings, but most of it was office space.
Yep.
So after like 7 o'clock,
there was no reason to go down there.
And then obviously 9/11 happened, and they took advantage of 9/11 to
rebuild,
rejuvenate, and to try to attract people to move back downtown with all kind of incentives, like first 3 months rent free and you're in these buildings, blah, 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 blah. But you know, I went down there the other night. Yeah, everything down there now. Like, it's lit. Like, you got all kind of stores. Like,
there's a Neiman's. There's
everything. Because they're attracting the youth.
Yeah.
They know to get the young people, they got to have the H&M.
You come up out of that World Trade Center station, it's a mall.
It's a mall now.
Like a literal mall.
Yeah, before that was nothing. So,
yeah.
Manhattan is, man, it's
changing.
It's changed. You know what I'm saying? It's changed a lot. Yeah, so I just want to mention the La Marina thing. Let's do Real Housewives real quick.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm at with this season, man. I'm enjoying this season.
I'm enjoying it more than I have in a while.
Last season, I hate it. But last season, I checked out.
Everybody's still kind of.
Well, because I feel like this, the episodes we're at now is fun mean. If that makes
sense.
There's no actual hardship.
Yes, it's not venom.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's sassy it's a little shades,
messy.
A little
shy. And there's some new messiness.
Exactly. Injected some new blood.
It's new messiness.
Which helps, because they've got Eva's in there now, and
Shamari.
Shamari's around, and old girl last week with the yellow dress was, I guess, well, Mabel's here again.
I hope to God. Now, I don't think so, because she's not on the girls' trip.
No,
yeah, no.
I think she's one and done.
She probably was drunk and bad. I was watching that stuff.
Sunday. Mad as hell.
That bitch Eva, she know me. We took fucking geography together.
We was in history 101.
We was in history 101 together, bitch.
She know me.
So yeah, they took a girls' trip this week. It was supposed to
which be. Which was supposed to be a couple trip.
Allegedly.
And the dudes kept dropping
every dude
out.
Dropped out, bro.
I think, you know what? So? Yeah, because
I believe Portia's dude dropped out, but
had the cast on the leg.
But I thought he might have faked because he just ain't want to go.
Well, I mean, I think
that the cast on the leg.
I mean,
I think that it probably worked out
the
that way.
Yeah, when she went to the shop.
That's true.
Oh. I mean, I don't think that they're not under obligation. So right. those
not,
guys
not
would
cast
make
members like
yeah
that.
They would probably have lives. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Made other arrangements and didn't really know.
I also think
on a bus going to
Destin,
Florida.
I also think that Michael has political aspirations. I think he's avoiding, because he ran for mayor.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm sure he plans on trying to do something again.
I think he's avoiding camera time as much as possible. Yeah, I think
when he is on camera, it's real light.
Like, it's super light.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to keep this easy. So a whole weekend shit was probably like.
Yeah, it's like, that's just be for disaster.
So
what do you think about, what do you think about Candy just keeping the digging in with this? What's your thing?
I mean, I think Candy's thing. Well, Candy has admitted that some of it is like, I'm still not fucking with you. Like, she said some of it is petty. She admitted that. She was like, there's some pettiness. I think she said it. I can't remember if she said it to Portia or if she said it in. I think she said it to Portia. I think she said to Portia that some of it is some pettiness. But I think Candy's other thing is like, you really in that much denial about this nigga? Like, you really want to act like. Because Portia does act like. This is like angels came down and sang, and because I kind of get it. It's like you went so fast, so hard. Like Portia was calling dude her friend, like at the beginning of the season,
and now they're having a baby.
You know what I mean? So it's like you went from calling this dude friend to all of a sudden like this your man, ride or die. You're not trying to hear nothing, say nothing, do nothing. And I think part of it is Candy feeling like, all right, sis, you in denial, but like. Whatever. Now, is it for Candy to keep pushing like that?
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't think
so. She's
so but
hard.
I guess the other thing is like when Candy first told the girls, her thing was actually like, I don't want to go to Portia because me and Portia ain't really good. But then of course it got back to Portia because Nene told Portia. Portia told dude. Then Portia comes to her like, yo, you talking about my man? And I mean, I don't know why Candy didn't bring this up, but Candy should have been like, yo, I actually didn't want to bring it to you because me and you not. Good, but Candy also
kind of enjoying digging. She's enjoying,
but
digging
she said there's some pettiness because I think she thinks that Portia is being willfully ignorant, which Portia is. But they're gonna know soon. It's because Portia's pregnant, so she's kind of it's a survival tactic.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, I think that you know it's also the thrill of catching someone in a lie,
right?
Like in a bold-faced lie. It's like you're lying,
right?
Like. So doing that when you have the pettiness already and you have the little get back in you is probably, playing out like that. I mean, and listen, the game is the game.
Yeah, true. The game is cold. The game is very cold. I mean, yeah, Portia's full speed ahead with this thing. Now she's pregnant. I guess old boy's going to give her a ring soon. I would hope.
I mean, they're engaged now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
So, you know, God bless them. I hope it works out.
His mama is not with the bullshit, though.
But like I said, my thing
she being like, nice about it, but she kind of like.
But my thing is like, yo, in reality, like Portia probably has more bread than he does. Portia's been on the show for a while.
And she still got you think she's smart with it, though? Like,
I mean, she still got the little Dish Nation shit. She got her little, you know, flat tummy tea. I'm not saying she's like, you know, worth $100 million. But she's okay.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess.
And sort of what, some African to invest in some diamond mines.
Nah, she definitely ain't do that. But I mean, listen. I think the mom is operating as many moms do. And she seems like a very young woman in terms of having a son that's 40.
Yeah. She's still very active and vital.
Yes.
For sure.
So she definitely keeping time with Mr. Leon and Cecil and Herbert and them.
They going to the show.
They going out to the show.
They definitely going to the Dave and Tamara Mann show when it comes around. Absolutely.
Right. So she's being protective, and a lot of that, and what I get the sense is that we've seen this before where, you know, women sort of have boys in particular, and there's like this incredible sense of protection, especially if they've accomplished something.
Yeah.
Right.
And I ain't gonna let none of these fast tail girls come get his
money.
Well,
and obviously if he's jumping in and out of relationships where he serially gets committed to these women, and she's probably got her radar up.
I think that. I also think that as a 38-year-old man, this is not a place for your mother.
Yeah, you gotta handle
to
that.
Be. You know what I'm saying?
But think about it though. 30-year man, but his, I mean, and not there's anything wrong with it, but his mom is working at the spot. His mom's really intertwined.
Let me tell you what that. She's not intertwined in his life, nigga. She runs his life.
Okay.
Yeah.
She runs all his life.
Yeah.
All of his shit.
Yeah.
There ain't a purchase being made.
True.
There ain't a credit card bill coming through there that she don't get access to. She's running all of that.
Yeah.
That's why she in that store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got my eye on all you niggas.
Stay away from that register.
Yeah. Carol. You was $5 short.
You know I'm about to ring that up.
So
how many hot dogs you gonna eat?
Exactly. So that's what's standing out to me. Now listen, Portia has clearly decided that she wants to be with this particular man.
She's locked
for many reasons, none of which is I'm fucking with him because he's rich. Because she's been fucking with dudes with long paper.
So
if it was just about, oh, I'm trying to get some bread.
She could bag a basketball player.
She could bag one of them Nigerians that's paying for them ghosts, phantom
them
payments.
And all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. Like she can get that, bro. Yeah. Like again, Portia she's very easy on the eyes. She's not too bright, so she's not going to ask a lot of questions because one, she don't know. And two, the ones that she do know the answer to, she don't want to know.
She don't want to know.
Right? Yeah. So she gonna go along and get along.
But I never got gold digger energy from her.
I mean, she could have been.
She had some fun, but you know, this nigga, she really likes him.
I don't think you could fuck with her and be broke.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
If you working at the.
Yeah, you working 4 to 12.
At the Kroger. You know, bringing this in the boxes. This ain't for you, player.
Yeah. If they cut your hours and you gotta not be able to do some shit that week, she ain't really in your league.
Oh, they only gave me 28 hours this week, Doris. We ain't gonna be able to get all these gifts for these children.
So, I don't know, but I get it, right? Like, your mom, you're watching your son do something, and look, he seems to be running a business. What I will say is, and I've had my judgments on dude. He has masterfully incorporated his business
into
like 4 or 5 episodes.
Word up. Every episode.
But really has done it in a way that wasn't gaudy. It was very organic to some degree.
I wonder because, so after Bethany, what's her name?
Frankel's.
Skinny girl margarita shit took off. They started putting a clause. No. So after that, they started putting a clause in, from my understanding, you might know something about this, Sean. They started putting a clause in everybody's contracts that if there is a business you promote on the show,
you gotta eat.
They eat. So I wonder if, because he's been getting a lot. What's his name? Dennis?
Dennis.
He's been getting a lot of camera time. So I'm wondering if he actually has a friend of contract or some kind of.
Here's a couple things. Right. You really don't see the logo.
Okay.
You really don't see it outside of the businesses. You don't. Yeah, you kind of get things like hot dog stand, his business. Yeah. There's not very specific things that are surrounding.
Right.
When they do show him. The point is, we know how to find that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's, so they're talking to us.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
necessarily.
When you come to Atlanta, you go check Dennis's hot dog spot out.
Yeah, where is it? Because all you gotta do is ask somebody.
Yeah, nigga, yeah. What the hot dog spot?
The boy from Real Housewives.
Real Housewives. Oh, that's about that amount of
time. There you go.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I get it.
He
was
sick with it, though, that he had decated the Cynthia's thing, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's been very good, very organic, and good for him.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But I've enjoyed this.
I think we might have seen it this week when Portia went into the store. She had to wear the t-shirt.
Yeah, she wore the t-shirt
and they showed the sign.
It showed the sign to the store.
I just know it was black and white.
Yeah, it's called the Hot Dog Factory.
Okay.
They've been sick with it. I want to bring up something I forgot to bring up last week, which was B. Smith.
Yeah, oh, poor B.
Smith. So B. Smith is a New York a restaurateur, and basically, like...
She's the black Martha
Stewart. She was Martha Stewart, yeah. You know, was she doing it before Martha?
Martha's been doing this a long time.
Okay, but she basically was the
But she's damn near a contemporary. I think the only thing
she definitely didn't really...
Yeah, because B. Smith had TV shows.
Cookbooks.
Restaurant. Basically, because it wasn't just restaurateur like Martha. It was lifestyle.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. It was lifestyle.
She had stuff you could buy. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Not as big as Martha, obviously.
Yeah, but she did her thing.
Big celebrity clientele. Very much an institution for a certain black bourgeoisie. You know, she is still part of an era where we were still aspirational and climbing and, you know, mm-hmm. doing all that type mm-hmm. of shit.
It was her and Jezebel.
Yeah.
It was that kind of...
Yeah.
That era of those type of restaurants.
Yeah. Shit, right, you know. Right.
Pay $45 to get your little ass...
Get your pork chop.
Yeah. little ass spoonful of greens.
Right. Raised pork chop. You know?
And put some gravy and onions on this motherfucker.
I'm still hungry.
Cut the shit.
Yeah.
And now B's home... I don't know where she's from, actually, for decades now, at minimum, her home has been Sag Harbor, which is the black enclave in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she sadly has come down with Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse.
It seemed to get really bad very rapidly.
Yeah, it seemed like it kind of went down pretty fast.
Yeah.
The first real panic thing was, I guess, maybe 2 years
ago? About 2 years ago.
When she went missing.
Yeah, she was wandering around.
She was wandering around, and people were panicking. And fortunately, they found her, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So... She's not, you know, able to kind of run her business. Right. And is pretty.
She's been very much out of the public eye since that incident.
Yeah.
After that incident, they announced her
condition. Yeah.
She's been kind of incapacitated.
You know, she hasn't really been able to do much. And,
yeah.
So about 3 weeks or so ago, December 5th is this article, her husband came out. Dan Gasby is his name. I think he's a former.
No. What's that nigga real name? You gotta say that nigga.
Real name Dan Gasby.
His name is Clarence.
That nigga name Clarence. Because that, I wanted to say that, and
you
I'm gonna let you
say,
go.
You said it on Twitter.
Yes, because I wanted to add some context, because that is important.
Yeah.
Because it is a black man of a certain age named Clarence.
Yeah.
Who goes by Dan.
And I actually don't know no black man named Dan.
Okay.
Do you know black men who go by Dan?
I know black men of that age that go by Dan that are named Daniel.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Not Clarence.
So Clarence Dan Gasby came out on the Facebooks talking about he got a girlfriend.
He licking shots.
He got a girlfriend and he was quoting 50 Cent saying, hate it or love it. You can debate me, but for me, I'm just feeling great. He's got this white gal who he's openly dating. He says that he's told his wife, B. Smith, who he's still married to, and he runs the business that she's condoned it. I think the white gal lives in the house with them. And this has caused a massive uproar in the Sag Harbor circles and other things. Clarence Danny, 64 years old, he said, fuck guilt, fuck religion, and fuck people who have a problem with my honest management of my life. I am now healthy, happy on one side of the coin of my life and deal openly and honestly with the other side. So he said, what do you do? And I replied, whatever the fuck I want to do. Had a Hendrix martini and moved on. So Dan's got this white gal that he is sporting, holding hands with, canoodling with, while B. Smith, God bless her soul, is incapacitated with Alzheimer's and, you know, has memory issues and really, literally, not trying to make a joke, literally can't remember one day to the next, maybe even at this point 1 hour to the next. So, and Dan's like, fuck it. Now, I see both sides of this story.
Oh,
now, Clarence. Clarence could have done it. He could have done it better now. He was the...
Absolutely!
He could have done it better. But on the other side, what was Clarence supposed to do?
Nigga, not move a bitch into the house. Not put it on Facebook like, fuck y'all, he's 25. Here's the thing. I think that most people who have issue with this don't necessarily have issue with the fact that he has a relationship. Your wife is deteriorating. We don't know B's condition because, again, she's not been in the public eye, so we don't know. We don't know her. But you are still legally married to her. You were playing the doting husband up until very recently, right? And you living off her money, my nigga, and her name, right? So there's
that. Well, he's running the business. He's just living off it.
Whatever. Anyway, but still, that's her house that she had before they got married. Okay. Yes. And so there's that.
With 26, I think they say.
So listen. So you can have a little relationship, and you can go to.
I think it was a Wall Street nigga. I think he came in with some money.
You can go to that bitch's house.
Oh my God.
And do your shit over there, and have the decency to have some discretion and keep it low. Sag Harbor is as big as this fucking studio. And B is an institution in Sac. It's like small town America. So you going through, walking around, holding hands, but actually having all three of y'all being out at dinner together, of course people are going to talk. Are you kidding me? And I think it's disrespectful to B's legacy.
Well, go ahead, bro.
That was a couple things. Yes, I think that how he handled this was just piss poor.
It's a just midlife crisis.
I will disagree with you. I will disagree with you in the fact that when you said people wouldn't have had a problem with him having a relationship.
They still would.
In that. No. They're mad.
It's a white girl.
That it's a white woman.
That too.
We are not going to just bypass the fact that
that's an insult to injury.
Because if he was keeping time with Jada Smith mother.
Right.
Jada Pinkett Smith mother?
Yeah.
Niggas, hey, nigga, man, gotta do what man gotta do.
You know what I'm saying?
Or it would have been like, yes, get your life.
But I still don't think that post would have garnered a positive response.
Well, the post wouldn't have garnered a positive response. Also, with the black woman, that post wouldn't have happened.
Right. Because she would have been like,
nigga, you don't take this shit down.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, that aside, right, let's add a little context to the fact that, and I mentioned the fact that this is a man whose name is Clarence that goes by Dan.
Right.
Because what that really, I'm telling you what that tells
me. And got pictures with fucking Michael Steele.
Yeah. See, so that tells me that that's the world that he fucks around in.
Yes.
Right? And those very incestuous worlds where, you know, oh, that's so-and-so's ex-wife and, we used to go to dinner. And look, we don't know. There's a lot of assumptions about B. Smith's condition, right? The first assumption is that she is, you know, basically we have this image of her wandering the home in her pajamas and having drooling, and he's not taking care of her. We don't know what conversations they had at the beginning
before she
had gotten to the point where she needed care and in-home care.
It's true.
She very well may have said, Nickel. I want to stay in my home.
Yeah.
But I understand that things are going to change for us, and you're still a man with life, and you want to live that life. Like, we don't know what those conversations were. She also could have been like, nigga, you better spoon feed me until I'm out of here, and you better not look at another bitch.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't have
we just, we're making.
Well, according to Dan, it was the first.
Well,
it was the former.
And listen, and more times than we'd like to admit, people who love one another, people who have history. Yeah. We're talking 26 years of building a business. And this idea that, listen, B. Smith was an institution prior to getting married. When she got married with this man, her career and the businesses sort of took off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not like this idea that some man swooped in to take the money that she earned. Ooh. Like he was some homeless peasant.
Oh no, he had his own whatever.
But the tone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I get what you were saying.
Like, now he's taking on her shit. He's like, he helped build the shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, she had the home in Sag Harbor, but you know what? In 26 years, I'm sure they did some updates. Some refi-ing. You know what I'm saying?
New cabinets and
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not really exactly the same thing. So, again, this happens.
Living off a name,
he's running a business, and I agree 100% with you.
And he's sullying her name.
I was going to say, I agree 100% with you that above and beyond anything, personally, right? He should have respected the institution that was her name, the legacy, and the optics.
Yes.
In my opinion, and I'm not saying that this man at 65 should have to sneak around like he's doing something that isn't known, because it sounds to me like she knows and she's, you know, she understands.
But we also don't know if she knows.
Well, he probably told her, and it, you know, it, no, knowing this slick ass nigga, he probably went in there and said, B, I want to talk to you, babe. I got a
my friend.
This is whatever girl name is. This is Heather. She's gonna be staying with us. Is that okay with you? And she might be like, okay, baby, she seems nice.
But
and then the next day, she ain't remember shit.
But this is the thing, because we don't know, we can't completely just discredit everything. I'm just saying
we don't know.
We don't know. And the fact that we don't know can't only lean to him being the fucked up person, right? We gotta give him a little bit of,
But even if she's okay, even if she was okay with it, cause some people were saying, I think something I read said that he had posted pictures of her before, but people thought she was the health care aide. Maybe she was, and it converted.
It flipped.
So, I mean, which is possible, but again, I have problems with a lot of it, but my main problem is the publicness of it.
Yes.
The fuck what you think of it, because again, B. Smith is an institution. She's an institution. She's a certain type of institution. It's about formality and protocol and doing things properly. And so you are throwing all of that shit.
And just, you know, fuck all of that. As a husband.
Yeah.
As a husband, your wife, even if she fucking was, you know, a home health aide, whatever the fuck she was.
Right.
An honorable woman to her community.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter her job, her title. Mm-hmm.
Her some respect.
You do not do that. You put some fucking respect on their name.
Yeah.
And you do not embarrass them, even under the circumstances that's like this.
Yeah.
Like to me, I think that, you know, it reeked of selfishness. And I say that understanding that there's a level of judgment that I really don't have the right to put on him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what that experience is.
Yeah.
I know what it is to care for someone who's going through dementia and Alzheimer's. And like, that shit is rough.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. Before we get to the I need help phase, there's like
a lot of
shit that goes before that phase.
Yeah.
So before the diagnosis, we might be talking about 2, 3, 4 years of
like, what's going on?
There are many stages. Yeah. There's paranoia stages. Erratic behavior. There are violent streaks.
Yeah, the wandering off.
All of those things could have very well happened. And I think that he probably did the best he can to keep her legacy a certain way, which is why we don't see her
in
that way. And again, I think that I say that because we talked about this a little bit with the Wendy and Kevin situation, right? Which is like, we always make these assumptions of our lives and our relationships projected onto other people's situations. Right. And because what ticks and works in my crib, it may not work for you.
Absolutely.
Right, and that is okay.
And vice versa, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there are a lot of people out there with relationships and marriages that are not conventional.
Right. Yeah.
And because you think that a motherfucker, you know, got to work 9 to 5, be home at 6:30 and do this on the weekends. And right. If that's what you need, God bless.
Yeah.
Right.
But that don't work for everybody.
Absolutely.
And putting that shit on people and putting those expectations on people and like, I don't want to say, because I felt like he was vilified for both the actions and the act.
The act was wrong. The actions, I
that's the point. That's,
but I do think the actions would.
I do think the actions
would have been received differently, because this also seemed to come out of nowhere and be very out of character for him.
Yes.
So it's kind of, so it very much wasn't like, nigga, have you lost your motherfucking mind?
It was
very that.
Well, when the night before she had given him some head and that.
No, I could tell you. I could tell you what happened.
He was like, fuck it.
I could tell you. I could tell you exactly. What happened? Those black hoity-toity folks
on his nerves.
That be in Sag Harbor, all them Jack and Jills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they was letting his ass have it. Okay, yeah. and he was getting the air full at the golf course because Earl wife been getting in his ass about what's going on, and he needs to stop hanging out with him.
Exactly.
Okay, and so the invites ain't the same anymore.
True.
Right.
Okay, because guess what? People gonna pick sides.
Yeah.
And nobody, and like I said,
everybody's gonna pick her.
I said this on the show 100 times. Nobody is fucking up the feng shui in they crib.
Yeah.
For you, my nigga.
Yeah.
At all.
Hey Dan,
nigga,
I can't play with you no more.
Man. Hey,
I love you, man. Yeah, but shit.
I gotta cancel the golf trip, brother.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I'll give you my fee. I pay my portion.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I ain't gonna be able to rock.
Charlene on my neck, man. I got, you know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, so I think that it was a lot of those pressures. And again, they live in what is considered high society.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than some of the shit that we attend. We see the same people at certain things.
Certain circles.
So, so he's getting cold shoulders, cold eyes.
Yeah.
They probably ain't fucking with her at the gym. They probably giving her all sorts of shit.
Oh, they're throwing her all kind of shade in town.
And I know the white shit is glaring.
Yeah.
It's glaring.
Yeah.
This is like a Spike Lee movie.
Well, also, because there is, Sag Harbor is also the latest gentrification battleground as well.
That too.
So
it's you just, brought one of them in?
Yeah, so it's like a whole.
They sold the house.
Oh,
7.75. They got a nice chunk of change for that. So I don't know where they're living now. Maybe they're living in the city or something. Because they definitely sold the.
He probably got a place where she could get care.
Sure.
24-hour care.
Yeah, sure.
And all of that shit. And you know, people. You know, a house is. To me, I've always been one of those people that people are very emotionally attached to homes and houses, and it's like, you know, that house. Ain't the house that they was in 20 years ago.
Yeah, right, it ain't the same.
The energy ain't the same. The people ain't the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
speaking of projecting, let's talk about Cardi and Offset.
Oof.
So Cardi B was doing a show at the Rolling Loud festival, and was it in L.A. or the Bay?
I don't know.
It was in California. I think it was L.A. And in the middle of her set, Offset came off from the side of stage with a big bouquet of flowers, those flowers in the box kind of flowers, and he had also had some people put flowers on the behind Cardi, but she wasn't paying attention, saying, "Cardi, take me back."
Rolled in a whole setup.
It was filmed as he's walking out. Her publicist is the one who walked him out. Cardi, you can see from her reaction. She legitimately was like, what the fuck is going on? Because apparently they hadn't seen each other at all.
Yeah.
She had been staying away from him. And he comes out, he grabs the microphone, he's like, "Yo, bro, I'm really sorry."
He called her bruh.
Yeah, bro, I'm really sorry. I know you ain't talking to me, man, but you please take really me back. Did. And the crowd is going crazy. Now, earlier
And somebody was chanting, take him back.
Yeah, and earlier that evening, he came out on 21 Savage's set.
Right.
And 21 Savage is like telling the crowd, hey, tell Cardi, take Offset back. 1, 2, 3, take Offset back.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, just, I don't know if pissed off is the right term. She just seemed
exhausted.
Just kind of flabbergasted.
I think she was worn out. Like, there's a situation you get to when you finally get to the point where you leaving this nigga, and that nigga who ain't been shit all this time,
it's now
who,
just, you know, overwhelming you with good
8
shit.
Million times, yeah. Like, nigga, I can't do this anymore.
Go, yeah.
And you finally leave, and all of a sudden that nigga won't give you, like, she said something later in a video where she was just,
well,
like, she was telling fans, I need some space, but I also think she was telling him, like, I need some space. Because this nigga been on a diehard, like,
I want you back
online tour for, like, at that point, it had been a little over a week, right?
Yeah.
So I think what you saw, like, you get to a point where you are just exhausted by it. Like, nigga, are you fucking kidding me right
but
now?
But she also, in that same video, well, I guess it was several videos on her live, whatever, but in that same thing, she did say,
she got it, fans, for talking shit about him,
which showed me that there's a sliver.
Well, no, here's the thing. She never said, fuck that nigga.
Yeah, she just said,
when she said she was divorcing him, she was like, I'm always going to have love for him. That is my daughter's father.
Yeah.
She has not called him her husband since that day, but it's been my baby father.
Yeah.
There is love. It's not been working for a while. Like, again, and she was very calm.
Yeah,
which,
very calm.
Which is why we said, like, you can tell, like, she's really done, because it ain't even, fuck that nigga, like, she was very calm, but she said then, I got love for him, she said then she was trying to be amicable. She also said then that fans getting in their business about what he did, what he didn't do, whatever, was already on her nerves.
Yeah.
But that's his fault, because I've always thought, like, considering the short amount of time they've been together, consider the number of times it's come out publicly that he was doing some shit. So how many times did it happen that we don't know about? You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
And that's the thing. And we said this in here before. Rule number one is always don't embarrass me.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that you're a cheater. You're a reckless cheater.
Yeah, you out here like DMing chicks. And
so you're a reckless cheater, which means you're not taking my feelings into consideration then. And now you're not taking my feelings into consideration, because grand gestures like that, they're about you. They're not about me.
Yeah, like look what I did.
Look what I did. Look at everything. Like, it's about, like, you want a reaction. You're not thinking about, is this comfortable for me? Like, she's the first woman to headline this. This festival's been put on for 5 years. She's the first woman to headline.
Mm.
Even if she wasn't the first woman to headline, she's the headliner.
Yeah. And you come
and
in
you coming
set.
In mid-set.
Yeah.
Like, because everything about Cardi tells me she's a professional.
She is.
You coming in mid-set. Like, my nigga, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, nothing in your head was like, let me not do it like this.
Yeah.
Let me, like, I'm going to throw off a game.
He made it about him.
He made it about him.
You know?
And that's the whole problem, right? So, yeah, she got on live. She looked very tired. She was trying not to cry.
Yeah.
And she was also frustrated, because she was like, y'all, I'm not going to let y'all talk shit about him.
Yeah.
And the thing about Cardi is that she's still relatively young.
She's still, only
25. She still has a street sense of loyalty.
Yep.
Right? Which means that it goes to a fault. I think she also has a street sense of what it means to be trying to act mature in a situation. Like, I don't think she wants to let us see her emotional. Because
definitely
she feels
not.
Like that's weakness.
Yeah.
Right? But I think, like, she feels like she's being a strong woman by not being the fuck that nigga bitch.
Yeah.
But you know what? He might deserve a fuck that nigga.
He might. So,
and
I mean,
what
I found after that, you know, craziness, what I found interesting was in the next, you know, couple of days after was, like, bro was saying earlier about the B. Smith shit, how, like, so many people were projecting their thing, whatever their thing was, onto this situation. Like, she should do this. She should do that. She should do this. She should. And you could read through the lines where, like, to me, it was a lot of women saying she should leave.
Well, she'd already
because,
left.
Or stay left, I mean.
Yeah.
Because, in my mind, I feel like a lot of them didn't. And so it's almost like they're living through her, like, I should have left. I didn't. So I hope she does. So, in their mind, saying, well, so she won't be where I am.
Well, I definitely saw some situations. I don't even know if it was so much projection. I think the conversations I was seeing, which again, you see different conversations on different levels. Mm-hmm. The conversations I was seeing were very much like Cardi and Offset are an example. Like, we're discussing them as an example. Like, Cardi is an example of the woman who still, and I said this myself, I was like, Cardi is an example of what women are talking about here when they talk about how the onus is often on the woman to keep shit smooth, even when she's been hurt. Cardi's been hurt, but she feels the need she feels the need to defend this nigga, whether she takes him back or not. She got to get online and be like, yo, don't talk shit about him. Like, I get it. Like, she had to come back later and be like, no, I do thank y'all for the support, but, like,
and also y'all gotta... But also, there was guys on the other side saying, just take him back. Yeah. He cheated, but like, what's the big deal?
Look how much,
like,
he loves her.
What's the problem?
But there were also women who were like, maybe he just loves... That's the projection. There were women who were like, maybe he just loves her. Look at what he did. Why shouldn't she just whatever? Maybe
give him another chance.
And that's like, bitch, seriously? I mean, ultimately, Cardi is going to do what she needs, what's right for her. But, like, she's defending Offset. I don't see Offset going online saying, hey, everybody, get up off Cardi's neck about taking me back. Again, everything is centered on Cardi. How you going to react? Cardi, what you going to do? And Offset's just, like, scot-free in this shit. Like, there is no Offset change your behavior. Yeah. There is no Offset leave her alone. Everything is like, Cardi, what you gonna do? Cardi, how you gonna react? Cardi, what's next? Cardi, blah, blah, blah.
You gonna take him back?
And whatever. Like, imagine how much stress that is. Like, she's still working. She's got a whole ass baby at home. She's going through this situation.
Baby's
like,
not even a year old.
Like, it's a lot. And she's still trying to hold it together. I just feel bad that it's centered on her in such a way where everything is about what she gonna do and what she not gonna do. And this nigga just out here acting a fucking fool.
Just
whatever.
Flowers and shit.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What? You can't talk about
shit. Yeah, bro, can't say nothing. I wanted to mention, how you say Synothia?
Synothia Brown. I don't know who that is.
Synothia Brown, you ever seen this story?
Yeah.
She's a...
the 15-year-old.
Yes.
Okay.
Who was convicted of murder because she killed a guy who had paid her pimp for sex. She got 51 years in jail. But meanwhile, she was a sex trafficking victim, who had been, constantly raped by her pimp and then, basically turned out to go prostitute for him.
Yeah.
And she's actually 30 now. But she was sentenced 13 years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's 30 now. Yeah. Okay. So this has come up. And a lot of celebrities are taking her, talking about her case and bringing it. It was 16 when it happened.
Okay, I don't know why I thought this
movie was in case. Yeah, a lot of people, trying to get clemency and all that. But so it's come down to the outgoing governor of the state of Tennessee to do something to try to at least reduce her sentence or let her go before he leaves. And, he's been kind of reviewing everything, and she's taking classes in jail. She's, earned an associate degree. She's, apparently counsels people inside. Like, she's been a fairly model prisoner, And again, the case is kind of, the people saying, they don't understand how she could get murdered. Well, she was defending herself.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't just... cold murder.
Sounds like
she didn't
have great representation.
Obviously not. So it's a messy situation right now. But again, like 51 years in jail, that's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, she's not. Yeah. She wouldn't be up. I saw today. She wouldn't be up for parole till she was 67.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So at that point, like, why are you even coming out?
Yeah, you spent your whole life in jail.
So I don't know. Yeah. It seems pretty black and white to me. I don't know.
It does. It also just goes to show how unbalanced shit is. Because what a lot of people are holding up, and I know it's apples and oranges, but people are like, yo, it's motherfuckers right now getting convicted for crimes of treason who are getting like 3 years.
Yeah, and Trump, some of these guys is down with Trump. Like, there's one guy who raped like 50 underage girls, and he got like 90 days in jail some crazy shit. And like, meanwhile, this girl's getting 51 years for defending herself.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that because, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to mention is, I don't want to be so negative. I guess we should, I was going to mention the migrant child that died.
No.
Yeah, God bless their soul.
Yeah. We know that situation is fucked up. Yeah,
and that ain't going to change. Yeah. You know what? This is the last show of the 2019, 18.
Yeah, 18.
Let's wrap it up with some, what they call them?
What?
The shit you do in the new year?
Resolutions.
or just a review of the year. How was the year, bruh?
It was good, man. It was quick.
January was long as fuck, and the rest of the year was quick.
I finally took my swimming lessons this year.
Oh, yeah. Yay. So you certified now? You about to be a lifeguard, bro?
Got your little certification.
About to get your little Baywatch suit.
I still got to ease into the pool now.
Okay. But you ain't just jumping in there.
At all. No.
But at least you know.
No, we're not. Yeah. Listen, it was a great class. I wish it was a little more affordable for people who don't have the access to it.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. I was, you know, really kind of proud of myself that I actually did that. Cause for like 2 years, I kept saying, I'm going to do it this year. So now I feel more comfortable. Now I can get into the pool and enjoy it with the kids. Yeah. Not be freaking out.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, everything has been, you know, really, really good. You know, business has been great. You know, my family life has been great. So yeah, this has been
really good.
Yeah, man, I've had a good, you know, 2018, man.
Yeah. And what about you?
This 2018 has been interesting. You know, I quit my job. I rolled the dice on myself, which is an ever changing, ever evolving,
never stops
thing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a plan when I did it, but I've had like borne some really great fruit this year, you know, even though I'm still adjusting and next year is still going to be about like kind of figuring this out. And there's still some opportunities on the table.
Good.
You know, Cynthia Erivo, for those of you who don't know, her deal is done. So this will be my first time guiding an artist to an album by myself.
And I think something else has happened with her. Positive. I just saw a picture of her on the
She did a show. She and Shoshana Beam, who's another theater chick.
Yeah, did a show at the Apollo.
Yeah, they did a Christmas show at the Apollo.
It was something like that.
And she's doing something at Jazz at Lincoln Center tomorrow. So, I mean, she's had a very busy fourth quarter, so that's a blessing. But for those who don't know, the listeners that don't know, I have a weekly column in Vibe now. So it's been a good year. It's been an interesting year. And I'm curious to see what 2019 brings.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeffrey?
Well,
you've been doing all kind of shit we don't know about.
Yeah, there's been all kind of shit going on. I'm just consulting for Atlantic now, which I'm actually happy with, honestly. Like, I was, you know, it was good. I like the people there. It's a good company. I have no disparaging words for Atlantic at all.
It also says a lot that at your stage in your career and for the amount of years you were out of the building that you went back into a building.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens.
Ever.
Never.
Ever. Like, I think I might be the first one. But it was good. It was good. It was kind of good to learn, to see how kind of like the new music business is working now from basically the biggest label.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like you're in the real major leagues, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is interesting, like how this shit is moving. I have some issues, not with Atlantic per se, with the music business in general, because I really feel like this has been happening for a minute, but I really feel like Black culture is getting fucking punished.
Yes.
It's just about streaming and the analytics that are used now to sign a lot of these artists are to me kind of like, you know, non-Black executives like a cheat code for them. Like, oh, this is streaming this, or this is doing this on SoundCloud, so mm-hmm. we should sign it. But it's like, but then that's when the culture gets fucked up, because it's like, yeah, but it ain't dope.
Right.
It ain't dope.
And also, they're chasing hits, not building
they're
careers.
They're just chasing numbers. Not even hits, they're just chasing numbers.
Yeah.
Which is why you see this kind of topsy-turvy thing with, like, you know, kind of like a lot of quality artists are kind of like on this side of the fence, and it's kind of like, you know, bombastic, over the top, damn near, right. You know, what's the shit, the Spike Lee's, like, the coonery shit, like, in,
Bamboozled.
Yeah, that shit's coming to life. Yeah. Or Brown Sugar with the Dalmatian niggas. Like, that's really coming to life. Like, if it's two niggas in Dalmatian suits right now had a record that was screaming like a motherfucker on Spotify,
they will get
a major label deal for a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. I agree. We have some of those same challenges in TV.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Because they want over the top drama fighting, but...
No. Oh, they also want people that are coming to, because the problem
with
coming with a following, right? Yeah. Like, are you, you know, so I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's an interesting dynamic, because I think entertainment in and of itself has done that. And I think social media has sort of, wiped away, like you said, the ability for, first of all, I don't think that there's a lot of creative people. You like one of the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah,
bro.
Word.
Yeah, I know. I really.
It's like you, KP. Like, I can't really think of Mark Pitts. Yeah, like there's not a lot of dudes that are creative.
And then some of these. And then what's happening? I mean, I'm going on a whole soliloquy.
Yeah,
not even supposed to be talking about this. We're supposed to be talking about resolutions. But so what's happening now is, and what I'm fearful of is, so like a lot of my younger stunners, right, who's called like the quote unquote A&R people, right, or whatever, right? They're not even getting a chance to really develop, because they're just basically like getting slapped on the ass and being like, go chase.
They're not learning how to develop an ear.
And they fall into it, so they just run back like, hey, master, how you like this one?
Yeah.
It's like, nigga, this shit is trash. Yeah. Like, this is not good. Like, take your time and develop something dope, but they can't do that. And then, on that side, then what happens also is, then you get internal fights between those people and the guy who's the research guy.
Yeah.
Because the research guy's on the front lines, so he's seen all the numbers. So now he feels like he's an AR person.
Yeah. Because
I found that shit first, because I saw it sort of spike in the numbers. It's like, yeah, but...
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I'm glad that I'm still involved, you know, with the Missy Project, you know, and, you know, that's coming along. We're going to put out some music in next year, and I'm really happy to be working with her. I really enjoy working with her, and feeling like I'm working with, obviously, an iconic artist who's going to put out some music that's going to be culturally relevant, as opposed to just finding the next young so-and-so or little such-and-such. Like, I'm not...
It's too many littles in the game.
Yeah. But all that being said, it's been a very interesting year for me. And it's good, because, you know, I'm like, cool, I've got a couple other things I'm working on, and I'm like, yeah, I could kind of do my thing now. It's just nice. Yeah. I like it. I don't really miss going to the office.
I never thought entrepreneurship, again, I know we're supposed to talk about resolutions, but I never thought entrepreneurship was for me, because I get lazy, and that whole, like, I can only eat what I kill thing has always been very frightening to me. And even now, like, there's some days where it's really hard for me to get up off my fucking couch.
Especially when it get cold in New York.
Right now, Lord, if, like, once I'm out here, I gotta stay. Like, I've been outside since 10:30 this morning, because if I went home,
coming back,
it's a wrap. But there is so much joy and freedom and being able to pick and choose what you're gonna do.
What you wanna do.
And what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
and actually do what moves you. And yeah, there are some days that I wish that there was somebody else saying, we need to get this done by this time, so that somebody else would be choosing for me. But those are kind of, because sometimes you just don't want to have to do it. Mm-hmm. But those days are few and far between. So yeah, there's some creature comforts I miss from.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Especially from a big building.
It's a very comfortable, comfortable existence working for a huge corporate. Working for a huge corporation, traveling.
Yeah.
And that shit. Even though, you know, as far as right now, you know, they still cover my travel when I move. So, like, that's cool. Right. But, like, I get it. There's things that you definitely will miss, but, you know.
Shit. Yeah, man. This year was a lot. I learned a lot about HR, compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, as we grow, like, that shit is
serious business.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, we have that conversation with you, like, twice a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
It's a lot. But yeah, so, you know, peace to everybody, and
we thank y'all for, like, rocking with us for another many years has it been now, Jeff?
For us or general?
For Pop Life. Well, we can. Yeah. Well, the three of us.
Me and Angelique started this shit in 2010.
Yeah.
And it became the three of us, what, in 13?
About 12, 13.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, We seem to, like, you know, every time I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to keep doing that shit. And then, like, somebody else, so we'll get some people on Twitter and be like, I love you. I'm like, oh, new people.
Yeah. It does.
Because,
like, today was that day for me.
It's like, yeah. Man, what the fuck?
I was like, nigga, why are you driving into the city right now, nigga? Like, Christmas is traffic, you know, nigga. But I enjoy it. It's sort of, you know, especially at that time, you know, my kids were younger.
Yeah.
So this was really like an adult time.
Yeah. Right?
Like I got to come and talk and, you know, be a grown up, for a little while and have to fucking deal with, you know, cartoons.
Jordan Explorer.
Yeah, all that sort of shit. But, I do enjoy it. You know, it's clearly a labor of love. We do it because, you know, we enjoy it.
And we actually like each other.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, so it's not like you kind of, I gotta be around this
motherfucker. I will say this. I think that these, I know the past 2 years for me have been like adjustment years. And I think for you too, because right around the time I started working for John, you went back into Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've been trying to figure some things out. So I thank you guys for sticking with us while schedules have changed.
Yeah,
we skip weeks and we post on different days. I think that in 2019, the three of us might be in a position where we can go back to figuring out.
Yeah.
Like, to drive the show, because people ask me, they'd be like, what else y'all gonna do with the show?
We can definitely put our
heads to it
and
especially as technology has changed, right? Like, so it's not a big, you know, before it was a big deal, you know, we really did have to come to the studio.
Now you can do it online, we can do a remote
taping,
you know, and like I said, you know, my time is a little looser, like, you know, we could do stuff, you know, easier than me running from work and I'm gone this week and all that shit. So like you said, thank you for everybody who listens, and the people who, like, you know, get on us, like, where's the new show?
Where's the show at?
It's like, okay,
we appreciate y'all. We hear y'all. We love y'all for real.
All right, and the people even be cursing me out sometime online. And you know, y'all come to the party on Saturday.
The select few who you actually told where it was.
Oh, no, I'm talking about y'all too.
I'm gonna be around.
Yeah,
I'm going to. There's a little thing for Joy, but then I'm coming after that.
You know, Harlem.
Yeah.
Come out. Bring my old lady.
Yeah, okay. Oh, she coming through?
She'll be here.
She
just came back. I'll drag her out.
Yeah, please do. We're gonna have a good time. It's just a happy new year to everybody, and we'll see y'all in 2019.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.